Take your Bibles now, the book of 1 Peter. Book of 1 Peter. If you go to the book of Revelation and work your way towards the beginning of the Bible, you'll run into it. 1 Peter chapter number 1. We'll read verses 6 through 11 this evening responsively. I'll read verse number 6. You'll join me on verse number 7 all the way through verse number 11. 1 Peter chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 6. The Bible says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for what you've done here today already, Lord, in our hearts, through the preaching of your word, through the fellowship with your people, Lord, through the singing of songs. Lord, thank you for the encouragement that we've received. But Lord, tonight's another service. But Lord, may it not be just another service. Lord, please may tonight be special and unique, not necessarily because something dramatic takes place, but Lord, because we were in tune with you tonight, Lord, and you showed us something that we need now or something that we might need later. Please, Lord, use our pastor as he preaches. Fill him with your Holy Spirit's power as he preaches, but may we be yielded to that same Holy Spirit as we listen. Speak to our hearts. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
If you'll keep your Bible open, we'll come back to it in just a moment. I'm going to make a few statements to begin with here that I want you to hear that set the tone for the truth. No normal human being likes facing a trial. The word trial means someone who scrutinizes you to find fault or wrong. It's somebody trying to find fault in something about you. No one likes to face having to prove every move to someone. Having someone looking at you as a wrongdoer or a violator, like somebody having a lawyer chasing after you or whatever the case may be, with thinking that you have wrong intent with everything that you do. Kind of like the government. For instance, if I say you're facing an IRS audit, that is a trial. Say why? They're trying to look at your records to find wrongdoing. They think you have done something wrong, so they're going to scrutinize you to make sure that you haven't. And they're going to look at it all. And if you can't prove it, you're wrong. Isn't it funny when they make the mistake, they don't scrutinize it that much? Right. We went to file our taxes this year, and we found that they kept getting rejected and found out that 28 years ago, Social Security gave my wife's Social Security number to somebody else. Found out they did a changeover, and for 28 years, everything's been fine. And now, it's all messed up. We had to go through, and the IRS is the one that kicked it out. Then we had to go to Social Security. Social Security supposedly has fixed it, but has not let the IRS know. So now she knows the name of the person and their birthday, 13 years older, and she did not like that at all. You think I'm kidding. My wife aged 13 years in one day. It was not a happy day. And now we had to even file using the other person's birth date. It's a mess. Isn't it amazing they can scrutinize us, but they can't get themselves straightened out? It only took 28 years to find it out. It might take another 28 to fix it. I don't know. God makes a statement here that, as I was reading it a while ago, just arrested my attention and it amazed me. Look at verse number 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice. Now everybody look at me. That term, greatly rejoice, that sounds like something good, right? Sounds like something that's going to be exciting, something good, something happy, party time, all that kind of stuff, right? Say, what about? Look at verse number 7. Greatly rejoice that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold. Ooh. I don't know about you, but I don't use the term greatly rejoice and trial of my faith in the same sentence. But God does. You see, God says that a trial of your faith is more precious than gold. Notice, God does not say that every trial is as precious as gold. Not every trial you face, God said that the trial of your faith is more precious than gold. God tells us that this precious, more precious than gold, comes by the scrutiny of your faith. Let me ask you a question. What do you believe and why do you believe it? There's a lot of people say, I believe this preacher. Okay, show me. Well, I can't do that. You young people that are about to graduate, you seniors, God bless you. You're about to find out what you really do and don't believe. Right. Enjoy graduation. Everybody's going to pat you on the back and pat you on the head. From there on out, they're kicking you somewhere else. Trust me. You say, where? Ask Brother and Mrs. Hartling. It's not as peachy king fun the rest of your life. Enjoy graduation day. It's great. But from then on out, just turn around because you're about to get kicked. The scrutiny comes. And you'll find out you will rise or fall to what you really believe. We were after dinner today. We were sitting around the table talking and the girls were sleeping and Zach was trying to sleep and Miss Wally was sleeping and we were all talking and it's amazing. I went back for my 5-year class reunion, my 10-year class reunion. I spoke at both of those and both times they kept saying, same old Greg, hadn't changed. They really got upset at the first one I went back to. I won't tell you why, but they were doing some things where we were at that I didn't approve of. And I looked at my wife and said, I'm going to speak for 10 minutes. Get ready to leave. Because as soon as I say amen, we're leaving. And as I left, they were saying that and amongst other things. You see, people are going to mock you, challenge you, scorn you for what you believe. But may I say this, if you really believe it, you'll find out one day it's more precious than gold. There are people I went to school with, there are people I went to Bible college with that are, they've changed what they believe. And their life is a mess. Well, I'm still preaching the same way I did 40 years ago.
That's good.
Same old stuff. Same old King James Bible, same old way. I remember Dr. Cummins called me. I called him one day. I was working for Brother Hiles. And I had been trying to get a hold of him and finally caught up with him. And he was going through a battle. Brother Neil, you know what battle it was. And I said, Dr. Cummins, I just called to tell you where I'm working, who I'm working for. I want you to know I love you. I'm praying for you. He said, oh, Brother Craig. He said, you had the hardest graduating class of MCS. I said, yes, sir. He said, to know one person's made it, but knowing where you're working, he said, I wished I could talk to Brother Hiles just one more time. I said, well, Brother Cummins, I'm in about 15 minutes leaving to go to a meeting with him. You mind if I give him your phone number? He said, you do that? I said, of course I will. He said, you're serious? I said, yes, sir, I'm serious. I said, my meeting will last to about such and such time. I said, I'll call you after that meeting and let you know what Brother Hiles said. Went to that meeting, stayed afterwards, handed Brother Hiles the information, told him what it was. And he said, he wants me to call him? I said, yes, sir. He said, are you going to call him back? I said, I will. He said, tell him, give me an hour and a half and I'll call him at such and such time. So I called him. That man wept. And he got through the battle. I talked to him several more times thereafter. And He and I were dear friends. And I don't know how many times. By the way, went back to Ohio. He had already passed, but saw Mrs. Cummins and spent, my wife and daughter and I spent over an hour with her one day. She wasn't the easiest person in the world to talk to. But boy, she just loved on my wife and daughter and I like we had known her for forever. It was sweet and precious. Can I tell you something? Sometimes when you stay the course, you find out how precious it really is. Did you know that money burns up? New cars and fast cars break down, rust out, especially if they're in Maine or Minnesota. Did you know that all the big bank accounts give out? It's what you really believe and who you influence throughout your life that determines the greatness of your faith. You see, God says that the trial of your faith can be more precious than gold. He didn't say every trial, but he said the trial of your faith. Now, faith is not some spooky power of positive thinking stuff. Faith isn't, oh, I believe this and it's going to happen. Folks, those are weird people. I can believe all I want that if I drop my keys, they're not going to fall. But guess what? They're going to fall. The law of gravity overpowers my belief. That's not what the word believe there means. But what then is the faith? What is the trial of our faith? And I want to look at that tonight. First of all, what is faith? Well, according to the Bible, faith is God's gift to man. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Just back a few pages. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to use our Bibles. Lick your finger or lick somebody else's finger. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing also we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Watch this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our what? Faith. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That means Jesus authored and finished our faith. He wrote it down, told us what it was, and he completed it for us, correct? Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I use this verse often. Sometimes even in soul winning, but Romans chapter 12, look at verse number 3. We all know verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable, perfect will of God. But verse number 3 is the key. Watch this. For I say through the grace of God, given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, watch this, according as God hath dealt to every man, what's this? The measure of faith. That means this, God has not only, Jesus not only authored and finished our faith, but he has given to every human being a measure of faith. Watch this. Turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2. Many of you can quote this verse with me. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse number 8. Mrs. Hartline, you're going to be proud of me right now. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through what?
Faith.
So the noun there is faith, correct? For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. What is that? And that faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. Did you know you don't even have enough faith to get saved?
That's right.
God even had to give you the faith necessary to get saved.
That's right. Amen.
You don't put your faith in Christ. You put the faith he gave you back into him. Every human being has a desire to have faith. I used this illustration a few months ago. I was on an airplane flying from Chicago to Kansas City. Before I flew, I prayed God would send somebody my way to witness to on the airplane. It was a couple-hour flight. They said, we're going to have a packed flight. I was on the aisle. Middle seat was open, and the guy was already on the plane when I got on, had his head up against the plane, and was going... Well, he's not going to wake up. They were holding the plane for one person, and all of a sudden I looked up, and coming down the aisle is this girl, lady about that tall, and has a red dot right in her forehead. I thought, uh-oh. They said the flight's full, and there was only one seat that they were waiting on. Guess where she was going to sit? That's not fair, God. I didn't ask for push start or pull start. She sat down. I opened my Bible and started working. I was going to be preaching. We pushed back, and we hadn't had to put our tray tables up. This is before 911. She said, are you a Christian? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. And I turned to her and I said, are you? She said, oh, no, I'm from India. I said, I didn't ask where you're from. I said, are you a Christian? She said, no. I just thought I'd let it be for a second and see how the waters were. Of course, we taxied out. I worked till I had to put my tray table up. I did. As soon as we got up a little ways, I popped it back down, started open, and she said, are you a preacher? I said, I am. She said, what are you going to preach about? Well, that's like a blind dog in a meat house. Here we go, amen. She's locked on a tin can at 30,000 feet in the air. She can't go nowhere, and there ain't no seat to go to. Not good grammar, but it was good fun, amen. I opened my Bible, and I started to show her the story of Jesus Christ. Started in Genesis, and I went all the way through, showed her how Jesus came to pay her sin debt for her. Before she got saved, she said, I grew up in a little village. I wasn't even supposed to be on this flight. She said, I didn't find out till 10 o'clock last night. One of my coworkers couldn't go, and I got on this flight. She said, I'm not even supposed to be on this flight. I said, oh, yes, you are. She said, every day in this village that I grew up in India, she said, I'd walk out every evening to the edge of the village, look out and say, is there something out there I don't have? She said, I'm looking for the truth. Where is the truth? Is this all there is to life? She said, what I just saw, she said, Pastor, is this what I've been looking for my whole life? I said, no, ma'am, this is who you were looking for your whole life. And that little lady from India bowed her head with tears dripping down on the pages of my Bible, trusting Jesus Christ as her Savior. She had faith that God had put there. She looked for it. God sent her to somebody that would open the Bible and show her what it was. But the faith is something that God gives to every human being, and it is the gift of God. Second of all, faith is the gospel for salvation. Faith is the gospel for salvation. Take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 24. There's so many verses. There's no way. I'm going to list some of them to you. We'll read a couple of them. Acts chapter 24. Look at verse number 24. This is Paul before Felix. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. That's about being saved. We find that Paul witnesses to him here. Romans chapter 4, verse number 5. Romans chapter 4, verses 9 through 16. Turn to Romans chapter 9. Like I said, we don't have time to look at all these tonight, but Romans chapter 9, look at verse number 30. What shall we say then, that the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of what? Faith. We get the righteousness of Christ imputed to our own life by faith in Jesus Christ. Even if you could live without sin, you'd still die and go to hell. Going to heaven is more than just having no sin, it is the presence of righteousness. And according to the book of Romans, you have to have the righteousness of Christ imputed to your account. When you put the faith that God gave you and your trust in Christ, not only does he wash your sin away, but he adds the righteousness of Christ to your account. That comes by faith. We could go to Romans chapter 10, verse number 6, just a couple verses down in the next chapter there. But the righteousness which is of faith, speak on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. In other words, the gospel is the faith of Jesus Christ. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Oh, there's so many verses in Galatians. Actually, turn to Galatians 3. I don't even know. Yeah, Galatians 3:11. That's it. Can't even read my own stinking writing. That has not changed either, Mrs. Hartline. But that no man is justified but by the law in the sight of God, it is evident now that the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Now, watch this. The faith, the righteousness by faith, the word of faith. So the gospel for salvation is the faith. Did you know that God said getting that tested, the trial of what you believe and why you believe it, can become more precious than gold? I've been soul winning for 40 years now. I've knocked on 1.5 million, 2 million doors. I knocked on hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of doors before I ever had the first person saved. I had it down. Hello, my name is Craig Bush. I go to such and such church. If you were to die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? After I got past yes or no or talk to you later, it was usually, I never got any farther than that. But I remember that one day, on a door, and a sweet white-haired lady came to the door. Her husband had just passed away. And I told her who I was and where we were from. I was out talking to folks about the church, and I said, ma'am, do you know 100% sure you go to heaven when you die? She said, no. I said, would you like to know? I had never gotten any farther than that question. I was getting ready to pack her up and start walking, and she said, yes, I would. I said, you would? She said, I would. I fumbled and jumbled and bobbled my way through. I was looking at I hadn't gotten through it that far before, and I had looked at the gospel tract to remember what verses to use. And I remember that sweet, precious older lady bowing her head and trusting Jesus Christ as her Savior, first person I ever won to Christ. Brother Mike, I've won tens of thousands of people to Christ since that day. Tens of thousands. My wife and I in the churches we've worked in have seen hundreds of thousands of people saved. I'm glad it got tested. You know how fun it is to tell somebody how to get saved? You know how fun it is to watch somebody get saved, trust Jesus Christ as a Savior. John last week came to church, listened to me preach, raised his hand, came forward. Brother Barnes led him to Christ here, took him back, and we baptized him in the water. Amen? Got his wife and baby here back this week, getting ready to join our church. Came out after church this morning, said, preacher, thank you. Man, I needed that today. I said, so did I. If you knew his story, it's amazing he's here. So the faith is salvation. The faith is also the Bible. Romans chapter 10, verse number 17. Look at it. You should be right near there. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. So faith is not only salvation, it is the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. John chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, capital W. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Look at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That Word of God is Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. If you look at Romans chapter 10, verse number 8, you go to the book of Revelation, you find out that Jesus' name, he'll come back one day, and written on his garments are his title, the Word of God. Can I tell you something? The Word of God, because he authored the Word of God, he finished the Word of God, Jesus is the Word of God, the faith is the Word of God. What Bible you use is important.
Amen.
We don't need another version. We need men to reread the Bible, not rewrite it.
Amen.
We don't need man's words, we need God's word. The King James Bible is the Word of God for the English-speaking people, bar none. I can sit here and talk to you for 6 hours about it and show you proof of documentation, this, that, the other thing. How about you just believe somewhere is the Word of God?
Sorry.
He said it has to be preserved. It has to be inspired. By the way, the word inspire there did not die when Jesus died. The Bible is still inspired. God breathed. When you took your first breath, you were inspired. It wasn't the last breath you took. If it was, you expired. This is a book that once God gave breath to it, it keeps breathing. It's living. It's applicable. And that's what the word inspire means. So the Word of God is the faith. Salvation by grace is the faith. Jesus gave it to us as a gift. And next, faith is the Holy Spirit. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse number 13. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written. Where is it written? In the Word of God. I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, therefore we speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Do you want to know who raised up Jesus from the grave? It was the Holy Spirit. If you went to the book of Galatians chapter 5 verse 22, if you went to the book of Romans, you find out it was by the power of the Holy Spirit that he was resurrected. So the Holy Spirit and the doctrine of the Holy Spirit is the faith. The doctrine of the Word of God is the faith. The doctrine of salvation is the faith. And faith being a gift of God is also the faith. Can I tell you something? Since the Holy Spirit is God, he is the faith. Now, the faith also is there to be a protection by God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 8. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 16 talks about the shield or the breastplate of faith. It is there to protect you. Your faith is there to protect you. Why? Because you're going to face trials. You're going to face attack. People are going to ask you why you believe what you believe, and do you really believe it? Dad, on Wednesday, December 16th, we put our faith to the test because we said bye to Mama. But I happen to know she took her last breath here, but I know where she took her next one. Amen. She was in bad shape here, but when she expelled her last breath here, she sucked in a breath of air and went, I'm standing upright. My feet don't hurt. My shoulders don't hurt. My knees are put back where they're supposed to be. My whole body doesn't hurt. I'm in good shape. I have never felt like this in my entire life. And she knew exactly where she was. Say, preacher, was that hard to call the hospital and tell them to take your mother off the ventilator? It's not an easy thing to do, but I've had to coach thousands of others through it. But may I say this? When she took her last breath and knew where she was, it was a test of my faith. It was a trial of faith. I wasn't happy to say goodbye to her, but I didn't say goodbye. I just said, we'll see you later. See, all of these things make up the faith. And God says that the trial of these things can be more precious than gold. Can I tell you something? I know many people who have changed what they believe about the faith, and they're not near as happy as I am. Somebody walked in tonight and said, "Preacher, how you doing?" I said, I think it's Brother and Mrs. Barnes. I said, "I am doing fantastically." I said, "I haven't had this much fun since the pigs ate my uncle." Say, "Why is that, preacher?" Because I'm just enjoying seeing what God does. I have teachers who taught me in Bible college that changed what they believe, but guess what? I'm having fun. They're miserable. I have teachers that taught me in Bible college that are sitting in jail tonight. I know three of them that are sitting in jail tonight in prison. They changed what they believed. Guess what? I didn't. Just because they taught it didn't make it right. It's what the Word of God said that was right. The trial of your faith can be more precious than gold. So, the trial of your faith. Number one, what is the faith? Number two, are you ready? You're not going to like this one. Get ready. We're not to be a trial to someone else's faith. We're not to judge or scrutinize anyone else's spirituality. You know, God didn't make you God to inspect whether somebody's saved or not. Who made you the righteous judge of the earth? Everybody doing okay? One's spirituality is based on faith, not, well, let's say it this way. Somebody getting saved is not based on their obedience to anything but the gospel. And you have no right to judge them on their being saved based on how they live their life. Okay, I believe that people ought to, I believe a saved person ought to grow and live right. Don't you? Amen. I believe men ought to look like a man, act like a man, walk like a man, and not wiggle when he walks and wonder what bathroom to go in.
Amen.
I just believe that. I think ladies ought to dress right, smell right, talk right, walk right, not be manly.
Amen.
Thank God for feminine ladies. Amen. Nobody wants a hairy-legged woman. Nasty. Their armpits aren't supposed to look like they got buckwheat in the headlock. Amen. Y'all can't believe I said that, can you? My wife's just looking at me going, I believe in standards. I believe we ought not look like the world, act like the world, have the world's music, have the world's entertainment. I think that a Christian ought to come out from the world and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. But guess what? I know a lot of people I've won to Christ that live out in that world just that way. It doesn't mean that they're not saved. Who am I to scrutinize? Well, they said they got saved, but I'm not sure. Their life didn't prove it. Show me where the Bible says they had to. Who made you the scrutinizer of their salvation and their faith? Boy, that's good stuff. Amen, preacher. Just because they don't agree with how I live, why does that mean that they may not be saved? Or they may not be spiritual? You know, there are churches all over this country that don't believe exactly the way I believe, but I'm for them getting people saved. There's churches that wouldn't have me stand on their church property. But if they're getting people saved, I'll cheer them on. Now, they're going to have fewer saved than we do, but that's all right. If they're getting somebody saved, I won't be their enemy. Now, if the guy dresses like Mama and calls himself Father, and does the hocus pocus and the hokey pokey, I'm not going to be for him. Say why? Because they're teaching bad doctrine, but if they have enough doctrine to get people saved, I will not be their enemy. Everybody doing okay? Just because somebody doesn't do what I want doesn't mean they're not spiritual. I love my children. I love my son. But do you know, even though he looks a lot like I did when I was his age, although I was much better looking and much more intelligent, can I tell you something? He and I may not always agree on every point. I may not always agree with what he does. I know I didn't agree with his wife because we told her not to marry him. We warned her. From the first day I met her, we warned her. But she did it anyway. Can I tell you something? Though I may not always agree with them, that doesn't mean they're not spiritual. Who am I to judge it? Who am I to scrutinize it? Boy, that's good stuff. We're not to judge or scrutinize others by what churches would call church discipline. Somebody does something wrong and we trot them up here and stand them before the church and tell the church everything that they did that was bad. Well, who died and made you God? Show me one place in the scripture where you can forgive their sin. It's not there. Hate to disappoint you. I've talked to these jaybird preachers. Well, they're just certain sins. Show me. Who made you the decider of what those sins are? Man cannot forgive another man's sin. Only God can forgive sin. Let's quit being Catholic. And before you judge somebody else because of what wrong they did, let's trot everybody up here and stand you before everybody and you tell them all the things you did wrong. You're not as holy as you think you are. You'll be shot full of holes at that point in time. I'm not talking about things you got caught for. I'm talking about all the things you've done or thought or looked at. Come on. Yeah, it's going to be a real long day. Amen. I have to pick up the broken pieces of people who are bitter at church and bitter at God because of that kind of mess. Bless the Lord, this isn't a church where we're going to trot somebody up in front of you and tell everybody what they did. Amen. Well, you're just hiding sin. No, it's under the blood. Who cares?
Amen.
I find nowhere in the Bible where it gives us the authority to judge someone for being saved or not being saved. As all I can do is give them the gospel. Number three, and I got to hurry here. Are you ready? Yep. Witnessing and soul winning is the best way to try your faith. Witnessing and soul winning is the best way to try your faith. Psalm 126, 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You see, when you have to present the faith to someone who doesn't understand the faith with the word of faith and the Holy Spirit who gives the faith about a Savior who authored the faith, guess what? They're going to tell you, well, I never saw that before. Well, I believe that you got to get baptized and you start facing these trials of your faith. And as you go through the word of faith and you see them get saved, you then begin to rejoice because your faith was tested. So why not put yourself on trial and start witnessing and getting the gospel to people and find out how precious the faith really is? Preacher, I'm just not as bold as you are. Hey, I'm not as bold as you think I am. I got to work up the courage too. Miss Kim, every time I go soul winning, I hope they're not home. I've been doing it for 40 years, and that's how I still feel. But bless the Lord, something happens. That door opens up, and something starts in my toes and works all the way up to my mouth, and it just starts coming out. It didn't feel that way when I was walking to the door. But I can promise you one thing. By the time I get done, I'm about ready to come unscrewed. Say why? Because I enjoy that trial of my faith to be able to show people how to get saved. Boy, Boy, that's good stuff. You have to present the faith so that people can have the truth, so that your faith can be tested, so that they can get the faith that God gave them activated, so they can get saved, and you rejoice together. People will battle you. They'll fire back. The Bible talks about it being heated. I've been in some heated discussions, haven't you? If you've ever stood for the Lord, you're going to face some heat. People are not rejecting you. If they reject the gospel, they're rejecting Christ, not you. Quit taking it so personally.
Amen.
Well, I went so in and somebody hurt my feelings. Oh, come here, let me burp you too. You've had harsher things than that said about you in your life. Well, I thought everybody would love. No, not everybody loves the Lord. Man, I've had dogs sicked on me. I've had guns pointed in my face. I've had dogs literally come through screens at me. Somebody let a German Shepherd loose on me one day, and they had a 4-foot fence around the front yard. I had my cowboy boots on. I had wet marks on the back of my cowboy boots from kicking that thing in the nose till I cleared that fence. And days before I carried a gun, I would have taken care of it otherwise. Oh, wait a minute. You say, preacher, you do that? Yep, feared for my. So you wouldn't do that. Don't stand near me. Well, that's somebody's dog. They let it loose on me. Look out. I've had, I don't know how many guns pointed in my face saying, get off my property. All right. Let me give you a gospel track. I let a guy to the Lord one time, pointed a gun at me, told him to put his gun down, told him what caliber it was and what gun it was. And he said, you know guns. I said, yeah, and I'd rather not look at this end of it. Put it down. You see, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the gospel and rejecting Christ. Quit taking it so personal. Soul winning or witnessing is spreading the seeds of truth to activate faith in every person to get saved. It will face opposition. I got an email recently from a local pastor. He said, apparently you or some of the people in your church were in the neighborhood where I live, knocking on doors and witnessing to people about people whom I care about. I thought, oh boy, where's this going? He said, I want to thank you for obviously giving them the gospel. He appreciated it, though he doesn't do it himself. But he was glad somebody did it. Oh, he just loves, 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 but he doesn't love them enough to get off his blessed assurance and do something about it. Now, I was thankful for a good report. Believe me, I'm tired of the bad, nasty voicemails. But I'll take the bad, nasty voicemails. Say, well, preacher, they got mad. At least I know they were listening. Some are going to reject it, but you know what? Some are going to get saved. Some are going to listen to it and think on it and get saved later. Did you know that Psalm 126 said, you go weeping, you come rejoicing? Weeping doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun, does it? Weeping sounds like trial, scrutiny, labor. Yeah, but you get through it, and boy, you come back, wound up, ready to charge hell with an unloaded squirt gun. So the trial of your faith does not last forever. We read it in 1 Peter chapter 1. Turn back with me there. I'll read, make a couple comments, and I'm done. 1 Peter chapter 1. I was in the book of Hebrews. Wherein you greatly rejoice. Watch this. Though now for a season, just a period of time, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold. Oh yeah, you can rejoice. You're going to go through a season, a period of time where there's heaviness by temptations, the manifold temptations, the trial of your faith. But when you get through it, it will be much more precious than gold. 9/20, December 16th, 2020, when my mom took her last breath. It was a pretty big test of my faith. Brother Mike sat right back in my office back there, looked up and said, thank you, Jesus, for a place called heaven. Say, were you worried? Uh-uh. I knew where she was. Brother Fred was already up there waiting for her. He had already worked on her house, took the screen door. oh, so many things. I started to focus on what she had, not what I didn't have anymore. And that trial of my faith became very precious. Do I miss her? Yep. Every day. Every day. But I don't sorrow as though I have no hope. I have the hope because of the faith that God gave me. And the trial of your faith, by the way, he said it's much more precious than gold, that we might be found under the praise and honor and glory to God. He didn't say whining, complaining, and pouting. Under the praise and glory of God, not of running and hiding because I'm depressed. That trial of your faith will be more precious than gold. It'll give you the boldness and the power to keep on going. Let me ask you a question. How you doing with the faith? Are you ready for the trial? Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I wonder, are you willing to suffer for your faith? Are you willing to put that faith to the challenge? Are you willing to look past the flesh and try it on your own and witness and test that faith?